The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And the final hour on this Friday afternoon has begun, and we begin it with one of our favorite coaches, Coach Eric Musselman, coming off of, I'd say, his biggest win as the Razorbacks head coach over Alabama on Wednesday night. We talked about it all day here, and we are going to, I'm sure he's not going to want to talk about it. He's going to want us to get ready for the next game tomorrow. But, Coach, first of all, thanks for making time. I know it's been a busy couple of days. Congratulations, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on.
So I know there's a game coming up tomorrow, but if we could just get some final thoughts. I don't know if we're violating the 24-hour rule or not, but how does it feel to – I mean, your fans are buzzing right now. They've been excited all year, but that really brought it home the other night.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we were probably, you know, the most proud of, Paul, was just the fact, you know, we got thumped. You know, when we were in Tuscaloosa and we got beat before that at LSU, when we were in Baton Rouge, pretty bad too. And we were able to bounce back between those two games. We had a really physical practice with weighted vests and, you know, I'm not sure we had enough legs, to play the fast pace style of play that Bama plays, and Coach Oates, you know, gets his guys to really get out and run. And you know, looking back, we knew that practice would maybe set us back slightly, but we were trying to think long-term, and we had a great environment. I mean, I understand it's a pandemic, but we had a really good student section. Our crowd was good. There's been a lot of excitement over the last few weeks with the way that the team has played. And it was a big game. There, you know, anytime you get a top 10 team, number one, you don't get a lot of opportunities to play top 10 teams. And then when you do, and you're able to get a win, it is a big deal for the fans and former players and boosters and for the student athletes to reward them for a lot of hard work. But we have incredible respect for Coach Oates and his team. And we know that, you know, they're one of the top teams in the entire country. So it was a big win, but you're right. You got to turn the page, and that's part of, you know, being a good team is having maturity when you do win a big game to turn the page and get ready for your next game.
I mean, you're now final 2 days of February, and certainly you're going to be going through this now. You're going to be going through this in the SEC tournament and ultimately in the NCAA tournament. For a program that has not won a lot of big games lately, how do you drill that into their minds that this was fantastic, but it doesn't mean anything tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all you can do really, Paul, is just, you know, continue to talk, educate. You know, I told them today that, you know, I'm a lot older than them. I'm getting towards being an old man, and sometimes you got to listen to your elders a little bit on some of these things that you talk about, that, you know, the game, you know, tomorrow when we play LSU, the prior game against LSU doesn't matter, and our prior win against Alabama doesn't matter. There's 40 minutes that you've got to go out, and you got to be focused. And you know, I think that's just kind of how it is. And you know, the good thing is, having gone through it at Nevada, you know, none of those guys that we had there had really been through it either. But I think the big thing is just understanding that each day you've got to continue to get better. I mean, even, you know, with three games to go now, we're talking about how we can get better. We're talking about improving our practice habits. We do a two-on-two pick-and-roll defensive drill today that I'm sure they weren't really excited about doing, a two-on-two pick-and-roll drill that might be, you would consider, a training camp drill. But we want to get better, and anybody that aspires to play beyond college basketball should want to become a better pick-and-roll defensive player. So hopefully, you know, you can get your guys excited to understand that, you know, you're not just doing it for these last three games and then tournament situations. You're doing it for the longevity of your career as well.
I know that this is something that's difficult for players, but for a coach like you who's lived this all your life, with your father being a very prominent coach first in college and then in the NBA, and the run you had at Nevada. How do you communicate this part of the equation? Hey, listen, you know, quit paying attention to the bracketology. Quit getting hung up on all that. Let's just play this thing one game at a time. I know that's a cliche, but is that what you have to do?
I think so, and I think that you just got to continue to, you know, to talk to your team about, you know, the task at hand, and not get caught up in anything else. And I mean, we have a little thing before practices that we call voices and choices, and what voices, you know, are you really listening to? And I think all those things, you know, become paramount, especially the further that you go. Today, our phrase was starve your distractions. And so that's something that, you know, we felt was really important. You know, tomorrow's, you know, senior day for some of our guys. And so families in town. And oh, by the way, you've still got to make sure that this COVID protection is, you know, where it's been all year for us, because knock on wood, we have not had a game canceled from our end yet. So I think that becomes important, but really that's the biggest thing is just, you know, how do you starve your distractions? And, you know, it's not just my team. You know, I don't want to come home from dinner and have my wife tell me, you know, where we're projected, because I know that it's all going to change after the next game. So I got to tell my wife to starve the distractions as well.
Eric, you forced me as a reporter to ask you about your wife here. I heard your mom on the other day. So your wife, and I'll get to your mom in a second, but your wife, I mean, this sounds complicated, telling your wife not to tell you things when you get home.
Well, it is complicated. What makes it even more complicated is when your wife is a former sports broadcaster who worked for ESPN, and when I'm watching games, she probably knows as much as I do. So, and she's reading probably more than half the assistant coaches in college basketball. So, it is difficult, but it's cool too. I mean, how many coaches can come home and you know, watch three games in one night of SEC basketball, because that's what my wife and I do.
I've learned with my wife that, you know, even though she's not in the business I'm in, she's in the medical field, I just let her talk. I don't try to argue about her sports knowledge, because she clearly knows that she has more than I do. But in your case, it sounds like your wife may have a lot of sports knowledge, or she obviously does. Does she criticize a play or a decision or a last second decision, or is she supportive like we normally expect a coach's wife?
I think a little bit of both, probably a little of both, but I do get little sticky yellow sticky notes after interviews that I use the word too much, or I didn't get to the point quick enough, and you got to get your point and then get out instead of overspeaking. So, yeah, I get a lot of those things, either verbal, she'll tell me, or she'll leave me little notes. She has stayed out of criticizing any substitution patterns or any late game plays. I have not gotten a diagram yet of a new baseline out of bounds play, but I guess that could be coming if we screw one up here in a crucial situation.
Well, I don't want to be critical of her, but I will tell you, as a broadcaster, I don't know what I am, but that's what I'm doing right now. You would be on anyone's all interview team, Coach. I mean, I mean, you are a gift to those of us who sit behind microphones and try to make people interesting, and sometimes we're not successful. So tell her to tell her to lay off on the criticism, okay?
I will. I'll tell her. I mean, she's not real fond of a shirt coming off or, you know, me trying to do a dance in a locker room. She's got a lot of pride, doesn't want her friends to see some of the goofiness. But I guess that's a great thing when you're around young student athletes. At least for me, I've let my guard down. I don't think, you know, a lot of this stuff would fly in an NBA situation. But I love doing it and having fun with reporters. I know that you know, the media's got such a difficult job. And the interesting thing, Paul, is when I was not coaching for 3 years, after the Sacramento Kings had let me go, I actually worked in the media, did some college TV games, did ESPN Game of the Week for the NBA radio. And the most nervous I've ever been in my entire life was when I had to go interview Larry Brown for a 2.5-minute pregame segment with a microphone and a little old-school tape recorder. Those 15 or 20 steps to go interview Coach Larry Brown, I broke out in a sweat like you couldn't believe. So I've learned to really appreciate the media and also understand that, you know, there's going to be positivity, but there's also criticism that comes, you know, with the job, and the media is only doing, you know, what they're supposed to do, which is report news, or if it's, you know, if it's a, you know, not a beat writer, they have, you know, the editorials and all. You got to just kind of take it and understand that it's not an easy job.
And I don't think I've mentioned enough. I mean, you've been an NBA head coach a couple of times, and spent a great deal of your career in the NBA before you came back to college. How do you, when you're in the NBA, because it's such a long, insanely drawn-out season, how do you keep your emotions in check? Because it sounds like, I know in college basketball, a lot of it is motivation and passion, and you mentioned the theme of the day with your players. I don't think that probably works very well in an NBA locker room, does it?
Well, I can tell you for sure I'm not going to stand up in front of an NBA locker room and talk about voices and choices, and I would get fired pretty doggone quick, because you learn that, you know, at the NBA level or NFL or MLB, it's you know, it's a players' league, and as a coach, you know, you give your X and O's, and you try to give a game plan and motivate somewhat, but it's two different worlds for sure. The funny thing that I get a kick every year, Paul, in February, is when all the assistant coaches and all the support staff and some of the players, man, it's such a long season, and it's such a grind. And I'm thinking, you know what, in the NBA, you're like at game 40. We still got 42 more games to go. And then, oh, by the way, it's not a one and done situation like the NCAA tournament. It's a 7-game series. That's some of the things that I talked to our team about even this week is, you know, hey, you guys, this isn't a grind. This isn't the dog days right now. Like if a lot of you guys in 12 months want to be playing in an NBA game, you're halfway through the season. So, let's get back, let's grind. And I think that that's really important from an educational standpoint with your team.
Well, I know you have to go. Thank you again. And by the way, if Mrs. Musselman has any of those yellow sticky posts being critical of this interview, I am going to be very unhappy. So it's such a pleasure to have you here, Coach. All the best tomorrow and the rest of the way, and we deeply appreciate you making time for us.
No, thanks so much, Paul. I'd love to join you again. Hopefully, we're winning enough so that I can join you. Appreciate you having me on.
You can't count on it. Coach, all the best. Thank you very much. Coach Eric Musselman, what a treat to have him on. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Every time we talk to him, I become a bigger fan. And you're supposed to be objective in this business. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back here on a Friday afternoon, Friday night for some of you. And I-Man is up next. What's up, I-Man?
Oh, all good, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, Paul, can we talk about – I'm getting to a point, but I want to start with something.
Okay.
I want to talk about the birds and the bees. The birds and the bees. We all kind of know that story. There's no stork. There's a whole bunch of them, for the lack of a better term, bunch of little swimmers out there, and that one – wins, that one gets there and all the rest of them reject. Is that correct?
That's my okay. I remember that from eighth grade.
Seventh or eighth grade, and that's the way it's always kind of worked for 10,000 years and for the next 10,000.
Okay.
And you know, we call that one the lucky one,
right?
Sometimes they're born financially or, you know, intelligent or that kind of thing. When you take a Bama Nick call, do you realize that was the lucky one? What kind of weak field was that?
Well, you know the show, so I'm going to give the rest of the audience some inside baseball here. You know what time it was, don't you?
I know what time it was. Mama's sitting in front of the TV, and he's got the VCR on record. Hey, Mama, y'all watch me. I'm on TV now. Y'all don't watch
me. I'm a benevolent soul on a Friday night, and I thought the world needed to hear from Bama Nick.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there's something else that I find real fascinating about people. They will ask you how you're doing.
Right.
And you'll say, well, I'm doing well. And then you say, I hope you are too. They really didn't want to hear how you're feeling. They wanted to tell you how they're feeling.
Right.
You know, back in the day, we used to have wallets with all these pictures, and people would show them to you. They would show them to you at the grocery store. They'd show the drive-through bank lady the pictures. Now they just hand the phone and show you 25,000 of them at one time. And when Bama Nick calls in, he's going to list off 5 quarterbacks that did, you know, the ones he's talking about did mop-up duty. Some of them ain't there, but they're the fifth of the 5.
He is proud. He's a proud Bammer. He's a proud Bammer.
Yes, he is. And there's been no football right now, no spring training, but some of these guys have to call in, I'm a bigger fan than anybody else. I always talk football. Who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback, Paul? Who cares who's starting quarterback on February the 26th? Who cares? Nobody. As always, Paul, you have a good day.
Bama Nick cares. Hey, thank you. Stuart is up next. How are you, Stuart?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Everything's great here. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can. I sure can.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, first-time caller, Paul. I love your show. I've been listening to you for years. Looking forward to a great weekend, and just wanted to call and tell you how much I appreciate what you do and how much I enjoy your show.
Stuart, that means a great deal. You take care of yourself, and we will talk soon, I hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Be well. Great to talk to you. How about, where are we here? Zach. I don't know why I'm screaming, but Zach is up next in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Zach.
What's up, Paul?
Zach, we're doing great. Good afternoon to you.
First I wanted to ask you, what made you get into the sports analyst world, and do you have any advice for, you know, young people, 17, 18, getting ready to go to college on how to go into the sports analyst world?
Yeah, let me find, Zach, first of all, what are your interests, if I could ask you that?
I want to be like a play-by-play caller. I'm going to Ohio State for college. And hopefully I can, you know, hopefully I can be like you one day. But I want to do like college football, basketball, things like
that. Do you have let me give you a broad I would not advise you following my career because I spent I spent the first half of it as a writer, which is really good in term as a reporter first and then a newspaper columnist. All that helped me do what I'm doing here. But in your case, I think you need to concentrate on your specific interest. And I think you know what I'm about to say. But if you want to be a play-by-play announcer, you need to find experience. So do you have any so far? I realize that you're still young, but...
I ref young kids. Okay. I guess that could.
That's so. You know why that's important? Because you understand. It helps you understand the game, and that's critical to a play by. I could never do play by play. To me, it's just too many things happening at once. But to be a really good play by play announcer, you do need to understand the game. I'm going to tell you something else that that is very important to if you're going to be a broadcaster. Like that, where you're speaking extemporaneously, you may be filling long periods of time. You need to work very hard on your vocabulary. And I know that sounds strange, but when you're pontificating during when the referees are having a confab with the coaches, or you're waiting for a review in college football, you have to be able to communicate. And I think that is really important. How do you gain a vocabulary? You read. The more you read, the more things you ascertain, and the more comfortable you get in the language. So those are. And then I would also add what you're doing right here, maybe the number one thing I would recommend. And here's why. You need to talk to people who have done it before. You need to knock on doors. As soon as we get through this pandemic, and ask people that you know in your community, or once you get to Ohio State, you know, find the broadcaster who does the games and say, "Hey, can I hang out with you? Can I sit with you in on Saturday?" You just have to be insanely curious about your craft.
Okay, so you just kind of have to find opportunities, just kind of find them around your community, around your area, and just kind
yeah,
of
and. You know, there's always I ran into a young man who worked where I live, and he was similar. He wanted to do the same thing, and he would end up doing high school games wherever he could. And nowadays, high school games are on the radio. They're on YouTube. Yeah. They're on they're streaming. They're on cable. There are so many opportunities today. To learn how to do the broadcaster. I'll tell you one thing that Eli Gold told me. Eli Gold is the play-by-play voice of the Crimson Tide. He's been there for 30 years, and he's been the voice of NASCAR, and he's done NHL hockey. He told me when he was a young kid, he would go to Madison Square Garden with a tape recorder and sit up in the upper deck in the rafters doing a hockey game or a basketball game. And by the way, you don't have to go to a professional game. Just go to a high school game and get experience being a broadcaster. I think that's the most critical thing.
Okay, thank you so much for the advice, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Well, tell you what, Zach, call back anytime. I think you can tell this. I've always wanted to teach and be in the classroom. I'm not sure I'll ever get there, but this is something that I have a great passion for. So you stay in touch, and if I can ever help you, please let me know.
I will. One more question. How long do you have to call before you get your picture up there like Iman?
Well, by the way, after that call by Iman, we're taking his down. So what you... What you need to do is just, when you call in, find out, or just send it to, I'm trying to think, what is the best way to send it to us? You can, I think there's an email address. I tell you what, tweet it at the show, and we'll grab it from there. How about that?
All right, perfect, man.
Hey, good luck. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You bet, Zach. Great to hear from you.
Yeah.
We're heading to a break, and we look forward to talking to you at 855-242-7285. More after this. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon, and Squirrel is up next.
Going back to your conversation a few minutes ago with I-Man, when you asked him did he realize when you put Bama Nick on, you were alluding to the fact that it was like a minute before the break, wasn't you?
I cannot comment on that.
I think that's what you were talking about. Kind of went over I-Man's head, but yeah, if you thought about it, I think that's what you meant. But
Well, yeah. I mean, you're always you're kind of stuck here when you look down and I just felt like Bama Nick, being the caller, the fantastic caller that he is, he would be able to
at least Bama Nick. At least he's hung with the show, Paul.
He has
credit for that,
and I would be able to squeeze him in. And I know there's a whole nother stadium. There's a stadium full of people who have left the show, and we'll get to them some other time.
But when I heard, let's go to Bama Nick, when I heard you say that, if I could have got to Vicksburg in time, I would have put $1,000 down that he was going to ask you one of two questions. Is Bama going to win the national championship this year? And who was going to be the quarterback for Alabama this next year? Because Bama Nick, if he goes back and looks at all his calls, literally he's going to ask you one of those two questions on every call.
Well,
and it's frustrating that he has access to someone of your stature and he wastes his time with questions like that. You know what I mean?
I don't want to describe him as Captain Obvious because that's an insult to Captain Obvious. But
which is why I'm going to ask. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, but I mean, by the way, the young man that committed today, he still has time to change his mind.
Of course he does. And that's why I don't even worry about him until I turn on the game and I see him out there on the field.
Right.
But, let me ask you a question. I was going to do it the other day, and we got distracted when we were talking about L.A. I hear there's some news from L.A. regarding your show. I hear there's been some movement. Is that true, or is this a false rumor?
What have you heard?
The Iron Bomb TV show.
Well, no, it's in development. I have not.
The wheels are still moving?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the hands of a studio. I'll go that far.
How often will you be going out there? Have you been out there lately?
Well, no, I have not been out there. But had it not been for COVID, I probably would have been there a lot.
Well, of course. And will you be going in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, let me say this about television, and we're not talking about this television. We're talking about television.
Has Brad Pitt agreed to play Jim?
There is a guy that's agreed to. There's a guy that has agreed to play me. The issue is, you know, getting it from script to the air. It's extremely difficult to get it as far as we have gotten it, but it's still a tricky road to get it on network television.
Don't let Hollywood ruin you, Paul.
Well,
when that show takes off and it's a success, literally, don't let it ruin you.
I said this recently to my wife. I said, if the road ended right here, it has been entertaining and quite extraordinary. And I'll leave it at that. But I've learned the entertainment business with a very close seat. It's even more bizarre than you think it is.
Nothing would surprise me. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Aloha. And I want to thank the Academy for the Oscar. Let's continue. Todd is up next in Georgia. Hey, Todd. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Hey, appreciate you taking my call again. Hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
Is it just me, or Iman's level of ire and cynicism has definitely increased here lately, I think. I mean, especially, with regard to Bama Nick and all that. I mean, and of course, I'm interested to see, the battle for who's going to win the starting job at quarterback, this season. But I don't know. I'm just not meaning to take too much of a shot at Iman, but it just seems like
Todd, is for someone who has been on the program for 20 years, why he would have zeroed in on a guy. And I like Bama Nick because he wears his heart on his sleeve. I mean, he really was excited today that Alabama got this commitment. Not for this upcoming season, but for the next season. We haven't even seen Alabama's five-star from two seasons ago that came in from California, he came in a year ago, I should say. But that's the nature of fandom. I think we both understand that.
Right, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'm excited, of course, looking forward to, hopefully this next year where things will go back to some semblance of normalcy, we pray.
Yeah, thank you very much. There is good news almost every day right now on that, and today was even better with another vaccine, being approved. Three vaccines now. I don't think anything is, I don't think you can make a perfect prediction, but I am pretty confident this football season is going to be about as normal as it can be under the circumstances. Thanks for the call. Bobby is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a scenario to run by you.
Okay.
Right now everybody's talking about extending the playoffs, having more teams in it. My thought would be cut out some of the bowl games, okay? The reason being, now the players don't look at it as a reward for having a good season. The only reward they see is going to the playoffs. You remember when there was only 10, 12 bowl games,
sure,
and it was a big deal to go, okay? No matter what you do with the playoffs, it's still going to be the teams that play to win versus the ones that play to compete, okay? You're still going to have, as long as Nick's around, it's still going to be Alabama. You're still going to have Georgia. You're still going to have Clemson for a while and whoever else. I just was wondering what you think of a scenario like that.
Well, Bobby, realistically, it's not going to happen, but you're right. Instead of fewer bowl games, we're getting more bowl games every year. I think we're up to 43.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all going to be, they have been diminished. And forget the bowl game in the Bahamas being.
Right.
The Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl. Where did Texas? Where did Florida play this year? They were in the Cotton Bowl.
They were in the Orange Bowl.
I can't remember which.
A&M
was in the Orange Bowl.
I'm sorry, they were in the Cotton Bowl.
So I mean, in our youth, the Cotton Bowl was as big as it got. I'll never forget the first time I covered the Cotton Bowl. I could barely talk. I was so excited. I was covering Bear Bryant in the Cotton Bowl. And now, if you listen to Mullen talk, it was like a scrimmage.
Right. And see, what's happened is that it's not a big deal to them, but yet with adding playoff games, you're going to go from 15 to possibly 17 games. You might as well have a pro season at that. Look at Tampa Bay. They played 20 games this year, okay, without exhibitions. I just think the players would look at it more as of a reward to go to a bowl game if it was less games and you had to win to get there, you know, to win 9 or 10 games and get into a decent bowl.
No, well said. Really an excellent call, and it's a big issue. We're going to talk to someone in a couple of days or a week or two about the health of the bowl system because, I mean, forget this year. Nothing was overly healthy this year in terms of sports entertainment, but the bowl business has some real questions and problems moving forward.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.